This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation universe, we're back after a small hiatus. We missed out on the Great Balls of Fire show because I was on vacation, but we're back here for Battleground. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my cohort, my co-conspirator, Devin Hales. And Devin, man, I wish I was doing the Great Balls of Fire reaction show tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I kind of had low expectations going in of the show. But wow.
Yeah, I didn't even remember that there was a pay-per-view till right at the start of the weekend, which is extremely rare for a WWE obsessive fan like myself.
I know.
I didn't particularly like the build-up of any of the matches on the card. Going in, I didn't think they built up Styles Owens with much intrigue. I think they kind of just threw together Knock Corbin. The women's booking we'll get into all this later, is a mess. And the only match I was really looking forward to was the main event. So, oddly enough, because I think that the first two matches were good, but it was one that I wasn't really looking forward to.
Yes, and we'll go ahead and get started. We'll save our thoughts as we go along here. Now, I had to step out, so I missed the pre-show match. We have Aiden English over Ty Dillinger. Aiden getting the win. And Ty Dillinger is circling the drain, Devin. So what were your thoughts on this match?
The match was fine. It was, the decent opener for what it was. Might have been the second best match of the night. But it was fine. I've been out of shape over Ty Dillinger losing. I think he's an effective person to open up the card, gets over with a 10 chance. I think he has a ceiling, in my opinion. I think you could maybe get him a little bit of a mid-card push, put him in a tag team maybe, but I'm not some person who thinks, he should be pushed to the moon because blah, 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 or he was over in NXT or something like that. English getting the win was a surprise, but I think English is a really good undercard heel gimmick. And it is good to get a little bit of heat there. But then again, if they actually following up with this feud or match or whatever you want to say is rare considering how they put talent on the actual TV shows.
Well, they wrestled each other a lot. Didn't they wrestle each other on the Backlash kickoff show?
It was the Backlash, I think, or maybe it was Money in the Bank. It was something. It was one of those, yeah. But it's like they never show up on TV. I mean, Aiden does for kind of comedy skits, but they're never really around.
Okay, I'm reading the stat here. This is unbelievable. Okay, since this was Ty's seventh televised match in the main roster, the sixth singles match, four have been against Aiden English. And this was Aiden's first win.
Oh, wow. Hey, it's weird because you could put Ty, put him against Eric Rowan in a mini feud. Put him against Luke Harper in a mini feud. You know what I mean?
I think Rowan and Harper have something going on. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, I think so too.
There's things they could do.
Right.
There's things they could. I mean, there are some other guys. They could put Ty in. We talked about this before. They could put Ty in a tag team with somebody.
Yeah, the Sin Cara.
A makeshift tag team with somebody. To do something, because God knows SmackDown needs them. Yeah. God, Jesus Christ. But I don't know. I mean, nah. I dig Aiden a lot too. So I'm of the two, if I was gonna pick somebody to win, it would be Aiden. I think he's starting to to get fully comfortable with everything. And they seem like they're trying to, you know, give him a little spotlight, give him a little shine. So I'm kind of glad he won here. So, all right, that is that for the pre-show. Let's start with the main show. Now, we talked about at the beginning, Devin talked about the build and the matches. This may have been the best built match on this show, because you had that rap battle, which they've played clips of since it happened, with Wale, which, you know, they really played that up. And just, you know, they've had singles matches on television between the two teams since then. And they, of course, had the match on the last pay-per-view. And, of course, they've feuded forever and ever and ever. But Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods against the Usos for the WWE Tag Championship. New Day was in their ode to Apollo Creed, American flag gear in Philadelphia. JBL during the match tried to tell a story about how the Usos were maybe off their game at first because they were prepared for Big E to be part of the match, not Xavier Woods. And then New Day was doing that differently to catch him off guard or whatever. But
right.
This match, I mean, Usos are awesome anyway, and these two teams have had some strong matches, but this was one of the best opening matches on WWE pay-per-view in a long time. These two teams went all out. Usos are tremendous. Of course, the most memorable spot in this match is going to be the super kick on Xavier Woods.
Good Lord, that was amazing.
Which your brother, Dylan, said on Twitter, and I agree with him, was better looking than the Shawn Michaels Shelton Benjamin one.
Oh, it was, yes.
Yeah, which is always remembered as the super kick. But New Day got the win. They needed to get the win. The titles needed to change. If you're going to watch anything on this show, watch this, because I highly recommend it. And it goes downhill from here. So what are your thoughts on this this match here?
Oh, it was outstanding. That's probably a top 10 WWE match of the year candidate. You know, it's a really, really, really excellent match. I was talking with Dylan about this earlier, and I've always been a big Usos fan, but I think as they keep dishing out these great matches, at least three or four times a year, they have some really excellent matches, and then usually have consistently good to very, very good matches elsewhere. They're probably a top five WWE tag team of all time.
And so the thing is, for people think that may be, you know, crazy, WWE's never been known for being a tag team territory either. Let's get that straight. This isn't like saying they're the fifth best tag team in Jim Crockett Promotions history, or the fifth best tag team in the history of Memphis wrestling. This is WWE. So that is definitely feasible. And the Usos, I mean, to their credit, they've been on the main roster for 10 years now.
Not quite. It feels longer. It's only been about 7. I think they came in 2010.
Yeah, I need to check that out. But yeah, I mean, they've been there for a long time. They were there, you know, with Tamina in the beginning, and people forget about them. You know, they were in 2010. You're right. May 24th, 2010 is when they made their debut. So they just celebrated their 7th anniversary 2 months ago.
Yep.
But God, I mean, whether they're babyface or heels, they've been solid, and they're right now they may be at their best.
Oh yeah, and there was good psychology in the match. There was a good hot tag. Usos put together a finishing stretch, better as just as good as about as really as any tag team in the world. I mean, they're right now their finishing stretches are amazing. And there's some crazy spots if you're into that. I mean, they got the spot where they caught Kofi on the trust fall and gave him a super bomb on the floor.
Oh God, yeah, yes, ridiculous.
The double team backbreakers and Kofi were sick. Like there's plenty of there's all the positives that you would want out of a great tag match or in this match. And a dream scenario now that this is fantasy, but man, I wish I could see an Usos revival tag at this point. That would be pretty amazing. But
oh God, imagine Usos or Sheamus Cesaro.
Oh yeah. Well, remember they had that 10-minute section of Survivor Series. That was amazing.
And I said on Twitter, whenever they do the next Superstar Shakeup, I would love to see the Usos go to Raw.
Oh yeah.
I mean Revival, Sheamus, Cesaro, them and the Hardys could be something because they've never wrestled each other before. Nope. And I would have to believe the Usos would want to go all out in that one. So, I mean, there's some different opportunities there. On SmackDown again, yeah. Yeah, sad to say, a tag team on SmackDown is no.
Nope.
So where do you think they're gonna? What's gonna happen now? You think there's gonna be the third pay-per-view match at SummerSlam, or do New Day move on to somebody else, or who else? For God's sake.
You know, we'll get to what we think what's happening with Breezango. But it's possible they could do a four-way with the. Which wouldn't shock me because it's they tend to throw in a bunch of multi-man matches at the big four shows. So you know I wouldn't be shocked to see a New Day Usos potential Wyatt's reunion and Breezango in a four-way. Which I mean I think the match would probably be great even if it's a bit lazy in the booking. Although that's nothing new with SmackDown these days.
Oh God, no. No. Yeah, SmackDown definitely have gone down the toilet recently.
Yep.
That's for sure. It's amazing to watch that fall from grace as a show they've had. I mean, and we're talking about that after this great match. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's the precursor of what's about to come.
Yep.
For sure.
Please check that match out, folks. It's very good.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth watching. The definitely. Rest we'll bury accordingly, but
yes, let's begin with the burials. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin. Nakamura, I will say this for him. He has not been great shakes in the ring, but it seems like he's gotten to the best physical shape of his career.
He's fit.
Yep. Yeah, he definitely has cut down. He's in tremendous shape. The problem is he ain't working that great. And Corbin and Nakamura are a definite clash of styles here.
Yes.
But I tell you what, I mean, a lot of people don't like Corbin, but I like Baron Corbin as a wrestler because he is like a throwback. I said on Twitter his offense reminds me of some like you would see 1986 primetime wrestling. You know,
yeah,
the bear hugs. He works like a big guy. He's not a big guy trying to work like a small guy. He works like a big dude. The lariat on Nakamura was pretty damn hard hitting as well in this match. He almost got him with a deep six. So, you know, I thought that could have been it right there. And if he had pinned him clean, I would have love seeing the aftermath of that one. But they went for the bullshit finish, which with these two guys, I kind of figured was going to happen. And I think they did the best way they could have with him just kicking him right in the fucking balls as he, you know, tried to do the Kinshasa or whatever he was trying to do. And he smacked him around with that briefcase, didn't hit the end of the days, in the days for walking out. But, yeah, it was not a good match. And it wasn't Corbin's fault all the way either, folks. Nakamura definitely did not help anything out. So, oh, and one thing, too, got mentioned. Corbin talking shit to the fans, always great. He's a true heel.
Love it.
But your thoughts on the match here?
I mean, I thought it was boring. Just honestly, I think Corbin meshes well with high flyers. He's great in big man little man matches. If you watch the AJ Styles matches and the Callisto series, which are all very good. He meshes well with high flyers because he can really work that big man style. Although he and Cena did have a very good match, but you know, Cena's a much, much, much better worker than Nakamura.
He's not lying, folks.
Nakamura was kind of, typical, it's a B show pay-per-view, so I'll just kind of, hit my shit and see where it goes, kind of deal with him. It was worked similarly to like I actually said this while I was watching Nash. It was like pretty much exactly what you said, but I said like an 86 Boston Garden show or something. Yeah.
Same thing. a lot of those were on primetime. And on WWE Network now, folks. The 86 Boston Garden show is updated this week.
There you go. That's why I think that's exactly what came to my head. I think they got all the 86 Boston Garden shows up.
They're missing a few, but yeah, they put a good amount up, yeah.
It was boring. The finish, I actually kind of like because I've gotten sort of tired of the trope of the Money in the Bank winner losing 90% of the matches after they win the match. Because, we've got to have the Money in the Bank winner lose constantly for some stupid reason. So at least we didn't have that bullshit this time around. So both guys were protected, which I think was a good move. It's interesting to point out that this was a fuck finish because it kind of shows you how pay-per-views have changed since the network has come into play.
Yes.
Normally they wouldn't have these finishes on a consistent basis at all of pay-per-views. It pisses people off. People are throwing 40, 50, 60 bucks on these things. And now with the network, they can get away with this stuff. And it's almost like a super, super episode of TV more than a pay-per-view, and the big shows are the big four now.
It is. Yes.
So it's they've booked these countouts and DQs and stuff like that. Pretty much every show besides Mania and Rumble this year.
That's not a bad thing. It makes the big four seem way more important. This is where you're going to get all your clean finishes.
Exactly. Yep. Corbin beating down Nakamura seems to set up a big pay-per-view match leading into SummerSlam. I don't think they'll wrestle each other at SummerSlam. I don't expect it to be the case, although that could be the case. So it looks like there's going to be some continuation of the feud down the road.
Part of me kind of thinks that they may do something with the case. They may do a match where they put the case on the line.
Okay, yeah.
And somehow Nakamura wins the case.
Interesting.
I mean, part of me thinks that could happen. I'm not saying anything definite, but I just got a feeling that something may happen with that regard. Mm-hmm. Because I know people can play, they got Nakamura in the second match, on the card. Oh, and
who cares? It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and he has kind of gotten less over. I mean, if you listen to the reaction to his interest tonight, it's definitely not what it was. But this is WWE. You can always rehab people. And, they can get them where they need to be. So, there's that. And I've seen a lot of people think that him and Styles are going to wrestle at SummerSlam for the U.S. title. But not so fast, my friend.
Wow.
As we'll talk about in a little bit. But I think that match should be more of a WrestleMania match anyway. That's when you pull the trigger on that one. But I don't know. It's 4 weeks until SummerSlam. That's a lot of television. And I know SmackDown's only 2 hours, but still it's a lot of television. Their roster is not nearly as deep. I could definitely see them maybe blowing off Nakamura and Corbin on television. And then doing something, moving on to other things with those two guys. But who do you move on to, per se? Nakamura's already been with Owens. He's been with Corbin. Who knows? I don't know. It's SmackDown's in a predicament with death, that's for sure. Well, the one place that they're not really having issues with death, per se, is the women. They just can't book them more for shit. And we go to this match here. The five-way elimination number one contender match for the women's SmackDown Women's Championship. We had Natalya against Charlotte, Becky, Tamina, and Lana. Naomi, of course, comes to ringside to do a commentary. No Carmella on this show, by the way, at all.
No, she was interviewed in the pre-show.
Oh, she was. Was she in the building?
Yep. She was in the building. Okay. But she was interviewed. She was in the building. Yeah, because she came to the pre-show set and did an interview. I was doing other things at the time, but I did see her being interviewed.
Okay, like I said, I was not around. So
right.
Well, so she was there, but they never trotted her out or did any type of tease with the women's. And so there was no tease tonight, period, for either one of the briefcases on this show. So anyway, Naomi's on commentary, and that's not her strong suit. That's for sure. She added nothing to the thing. But man, this match, Tamina and Lana dominated the early part of this match. I mean, it just seemed like they were just going to beat everybody up. And I don't know. This is, again, all right. Okay, well, here's what we got going on here. We've had on Raw, we've had multi-women matches. SmackDown, we got multi-women matches. Raw, we got Alexa Bliss with Nia Jax as her muscle. SmackDown, we got Lana with Tamina as her muscle. Lot of repeat booking here with the women on both shows.
It's mirroring roles is what they're doing. And they've been prone to do that before on these brand splits, which is a shame. I've never been a big fan of it.
And we got like Charlotte is in the Bayley role of doing jobs more often than she used to. Becky's like in the Sasha role. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, kind of repeating here. But anyway, the match goes about 8 minutes before we get our first elimination. And then we have eliminations in seconds until Natalya eliminated Charlotte in the end. Naomi tried to, which is funny. Naomi tried to shake her hand. She walked off. One thing they did note on commentary, and this should have told the tale, was Natalya was one pay-per-view match behind Trish Stratus for most all the time among women's wrestlers. So,
of course,
that means that SummerSlam she will tie Trish Stratus's record. So that's, they love shit like that. So I mean that told the tale.
And the fans, and meanwhile, people like me don't give a shit about that.
I know. Well, I know a lot of people don't really care about the betting lines on these shows.
I read the betting lines every month, and they picked her, and I said, "Well, I bet she'll win."
She was the favorite.
Almost always right. They're almost always right.
And she won, and she won the match.
Somebody's got a big mouth over there.
I'll say. But this match sucked. I didn't care for any of it. Tamina and Lana just, ooh, my goodness gracious. They're terrible. And the crowd hated the finish. They didn't want Natalya to win. So, total bullshit. Your thoughts?
It picked up a little bit towards the end because the crowd didn't want Natalya to win. It wasn't very good. Tamina is one of the worst professional wrestlers of all time. I've been 27 WCW, and I think she might be better than Max Muscle.
How about her with the attempted spear on Charlotte, where she almost just killed herself?
He is literally one of the worst wrestlers I've ever seen. I mean, it's unreal that she's even allowed to perform in a ring.
Wait, so she's proof,
dangerous.
Yeah, she's she proof. Hurts she's proof of, having a father, man. Their father.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. She's just terrible. She's awful. Lana doesn't offend me as much in the ring, but her character is completely uninteresting and terrible, in my opinion. Sucks.
But she gets a pop, though.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she's hot, you know, so people, I think that might be part of it. It was not, the first half was really bad. I think it picked up towards the end. Natty winning, I think, is partly for what you said about tying that Trish record. And also, I think it basically gives away that Carmella's going to cash in at SummerSlam. Because Natty's and she's a irrelevant challenger. There it is. She's a totally irrelevant challenger. And I think that they're actually going to pull the plug on a Carmella cash in because so that they can make that interesting. Because I really don't think a Naomi Natty match is very compelling.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, but maybe not. You know, I mean, you know, last year they did the, you know, Dean Ambrose Ziggler match, which was also a bizarre match.
Well, yeah. But,
dude, you know,
it's tough so, because, you know, all right. Charlotte and Becky are like the two sore thumbs sticking out in this whole thing here. You know,
yeah.
They are women that they have positioned as very important in the company.
Yep.
They do public relations, all that stuff, but here they are not involved in the title picture at all.
No.
They're, I wouldn't say afterthoughts, but it's like, what do you do with them at SummerSlam? The tag match against Tamina and Lana, that, meh.
Oh, so, please no.
But I mean, it's like, what do you do?
God, no.
You know, what do you do with them two? And unless you turn Charlotte back heel again, which
I think they should do,
which is probably it's gonna happen, and it's just
I think she's still basically a tweener.
But she
never really had a full face turn, in my opinion. But she's definitely more of a face than she is a heel at this point. As far as Charlotte goes. A lot of people have, you know, completely complain about, oh, man, it's all about Charlotte. There's booking around Charlotte. Well, that's clearly not the case. But Charlotte's lost about as much as Bayley has in the last, three or four months. Charlotte's been a complete afterthought, really, in a lot of ways. I don't think Becky really has, but Charlotte, to me, has actually seemed like an afterthought. Like, I don't even think of Charlotte anymore when I think of the women's division. I mean that thought vanished within like 3 months being on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, I mean it's something how her trajectory has gone as a performer. You know, I mean, because on Raw she was the queen, you know, the queen champion, and on SmackDown she basically replaces Alexa Bliss, and she's nowhere near Alexa Bliss's category on SmackDown.
No. Nope.
So, that's what I said. They're going to do something there. I'm just curious when, but I don't know if she'll ever see Naomi or not for the title. It's a weird situation that they put themselves into. And like you said, I think they pretty much booked themselves into a cash-in. They kind of pretty much have to. And I guess that's where Ellsworth probably makes his return to.
And the thing is, guess who the most women is? And the most interesting woman on that roster is Carmella. Because she's got great heat.
Which is amazing to say, considering what it used to be.
Yes. Now, she's not very good in the ring, but she's an interesting character and a compelling character. And way more compelling than how the other ladies have been booked on that roster.
And she's on Total Divas now.
Yep.
So.
That mainstream appeal will carry over too a little bit.
So a cash-in would be a great storyline for Total Divas.
Yes, it would.
So you got to think about that like that, too. So we'll see what happens in the next month or so. What happened with that? All right, next. U.S. Heavyweight title match. Kevin Owens defending against AJ Styles. Now, I made the comment on Twitter that this felt like when you buy that greatest hits album of one of your favorite artists, you get it, you put it in there. And it's the fucking single edits of the songs, not the album versions. So you're like, God damn, where's the 45 seconds of My Life by Billy Joel that I'm missing? The piano, you know, the piano interlude. Like, God damn it, I'm expecting this. I'm getting this. And this, I mean, this was like a house show match. The old joke.
Yeah, it was.
And
it's like buying a CD at Walmart, you know, buying like a rap CD at Walmart.
And
like,
the edited version?
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I bought a West Side Connection CD at Walmart one time in 96. The Bow Down album, whatever it was, that's the album that was on. And I don't know what I was thinking about, because I should have known Walmart did that. But I did it, and I started playing it, and it, you know, the N word, it was like ends. Or no, near. It was near. I'm like, okay.
What?
Okay. So, but yeah, this is what that was. Jesus, Owens, he was working that headlock like hell in this match.
Good Lord, he was.
And this is
after house show special.
And this is after Corbin had done the bear hugs, you know. So, and this crowd was not wanting it. AJ was AJ, you know. You got what you expected from AJ. He worked his ass off. Owens did okay, but it's just like, there was just no meat, no spark, no sizzle to this match. And then, you know, once you get to the finish, you think, okay, maybe they're going to go do the finish run. No. We get a shitty, both guys' shoulders on the mat finish, where Styles, I kind of wonder if he was supposed to get his shoulder up. Because
he didn't.
All right, it was up before the referee started counting, and then he laid it down and never picked it back up. So if they try to do some bullshit like that, they can't, because he didn't do it. So Owens gets the belt back. They immediately play Owens' music, so there's no like drama to it. They immediately play Owens' music to clear him the winner, and he's now 3-time U.S. champion.
That was the most I sat in my chair and had no reaction, because I didn't really know what had just happened. It's like that finish of Super Bowl 7. When Savage doesn't pull Hogan's feet under the ropes until after the bell.
Yeah, and it's like whenever you do this type of finish, there's always like a pause, and you try to figure out, okay, who was the winner? No. Boom. Owens' music hits. Nasmus champion. Bam. That's it. And it's like, what? What? But, I mean, we've seen these guys wrestle each other, you know, on pay-per-view and on television. I don't know if it's me, but they haven't clicked. What do you think?
I liked their matches last year better. I liked the Backlash match fine. This feud just isn't that interesting. And, I mean, I think Kevin Owens is a fairly boring and uninteresting character and worker. More than half the time. They don't seem to be clicking right now. It's kind of odd. I think there was some promise in the feud at first after Backlash. I thought the finish was really clever with AJ getting his leg caught on the table and stuff. But this was an okay match. It was okay. Like, it wasn't even good. It was just plain. It was solid okay match. Was it special? Like you said, there was no sizzle or fire or energy to it. The finishing sequence was terrible. They kept trading submissions, and then the camera angle where you see the dazed ref looking. I mean, it was actually quite comical. I actually started chuckling out loud, because the ref was slowly, like, you know, getting up from getting kicked in the head.
Oh God, what a sell job, huh?
And so, but he was still doing that for literally over a minute, and the way the camera was shot is you could see him basically, like, it was, you know, with the camera over the shoulder. Yeah, he was just watching him slowly get up. It was really comical, actually. And then the finish was just executed so poorly, and the decision, if it's one that was intentional or whatever, you know, to give Owens the belt after AJ just won it 3 weeks earlier, and to give AJ a big title win at MSG so they could put it on his DVD, and so MSG can be, you know, satisfied that they have a, you know, reason for people to go to the shows, I guess, now. I don't know. But, to me, I've never been a fan of those wild, random title switches. You know, it gets old after a while. And this was another case. I mean, the U.S. title's been hot potato this year. You know, it's like the Raw women's title last year.
Oh, yeah.
Except for those matches were great.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, because you remember we had Jericho win the belt and then lose it the next night. Why? Why the hell are you doing this?
Should never won the belt in the first place.
Yep. You know, because, you know, so you can put it on Jericho's resume. Wait a minute, he just lost it at Mania and then won it back? Why?
Yeah.
You know, you got AJ who won the belt back, so that, I guess I'm assuming so they could put it on the DVD and make people think house shows are important again because they do poor attendance. It's like, well, like, why are you doing these things? It doesn't make anybody look good at all.
No, it's, I mean, like, the Garn deal. I mean, you definitely can tell where their emphasis was on that by watching the videos about the Twitter feedback and people watching on YouTube. I can't believe they changed the title at Madison Square Garden. And that's what they were going for.
Well, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
That reaction and excitement for that title switch is gone the second that rest hand hit three. Because that was about the most pointless 3 week title reign I can remember.
Well, remember AJ starts.
It
was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Or when AJ gets on there and says, "I'm bringing back the open challenge."
Oh yeah.
And they never did it. They never did one of them.
And what they've done is they've teased a Cena feud and an Nakamura feud with AJ.
And then he loses the fucking belt to Owens. Jesus Christ! Yeah. This creative, my lord, Brian James, Road Dog, what happened to you?
You suck. You suck.
You know, now you see why Memphis.
The importance. First of all, the importance of Ryan Ward.
Oh yeah, he's on Raw. Yeah, he's on Raw now. But you know, now you see why Memphis was constantly changing up their bookers every so often to keep them refreshed. I think Brian Armstrong needs to, you know, take a step back for a minute and let somebody else come in with a fresh pencil.
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan leaving in 98 WCW was a good idea. They just picked the wrong person.
It's just.
I mean, Kevin Nash is the worst. But you know, God, my point is, when you book for so long, you know, just get stuck in a rut.
Yeah, it's crazy. They did some really good stuff for a while there. I mean, SmackDown had a lot of solid writing and great creative, and it's just gone down the toilet. And shit like this
is reason. To see how big of a I'm just curious to see how big of a reason Ryan Ward really is. He seems like he's really becoming a big reason why these things are the way they are. Look how good NXT was in 2014, 2015. Why? Because Ryan Ward was writing.
Yeah.
2016 SmackDown. SmackDown was awesome. Why? Because Ryan Ward was on the writing team. Raw's gotten really good in 2017. Why? Because Ryan Ward. That, to me, I'm not saying it's all him, but I think that's an interesting discussion to have.
It is something that's there.
I think maybe it's just his writing style. He's very good with continuity and mixing in short term and long term or something. I don't know, but it's just I don't know what happened to SmackDown. It fell far. I think the beginning of the end was in February when they decided to take the most convoluted route to get the AJ and Shane, and then they decided to have turn the Wyatts pretty intriguing with the Harper the faction into a complete garbage. It was a mess. But it's been like this for months now, and I don't know how the hell they're going to get out of this. It doesn't look to be too promising after this show.
It's interesting how SmackDown did the same thing happened to SmackDown in the first brand split. How SmackDown had a run where they were, you know, just killing Raw as far as
quality.
And,
ooh, absolutely.
And then they went downhill and they never really got that back. The problem was Raw sucked a lot then too.
Oh,
but still, SmackDown wasn't a whole lot better.
No.
So,
because, you know, Heyman was the booker until No Way Out 03-ish, and then he left, and they did the, then Vince was hanging around and feuding with Linda and Stephanie in an I Quit match.
Yeah.
And bullying Zach Gowen and trying to reveal the identity of Mr. America every week. So.
Yeah, SmackDown, it's interesting to watch how this has happened twice now in brand splits.
Yep.
But, oh man. All right, the hits continue here. As we go to a flag match, you know, first off, we had the scenes telling Jinder Mahal they couldn't be at ringside during this match, which means they were going to be out of the ring. So, and they were. Now, next we get a flag match between John Cena and Rusev. I love these two guys. They worked their ass off in this match, but this went way too fucking long. Yeah. They tried to build this as a match with big time drama. Fans didn't care about it hardly at all. They cared about the big spots at the end of some, but they didn't care about the match. And to me, like I said on Twitter, it felt like them doing their version of Roman versus Braun. You know, Great Balls of Fire with all the, you know, this gimmick stuff going on and working it towards the stage and shit like that. They were going for like that, their version of that. The gimmick, of course, where they had to put the flag on a stand. Never seen that one before.
No.
So that one's new. One of the big arguments I saw in this match were people talking about how, and of course this is wrestling, so it's going to happen that way, how the guys immediately start moving slower once they had that flag in their hand than they normally would move, which that's just wrestling. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, that's wrestling.
But this one was just so quickly thrown together. And yes, these two have a past, and it's easy to do, Cena versus Rusev, because it's U.S. versus Bulgaria, Russia, however you want to describe Rusev. But it just... When the fans couldn't care enough to do dueling chants for Cena, I mean, just, that tells a story right there, in Philadelphia, no less. So it just went way too long. Rusev, to me, without Lana, is not nearly as compelling as he is with Lana.
Right.
So they're going to have to figure something out with him. But what were your thoughts on this?
I can't take away their hard work, especially somebody like Cena, who, I mean, Cena busts his ass always. I've never seen Cena dog it in a match. You know, I've been to seen him at house shows and random pay-per-view matches like this that are meaningless. And he always busts his ass, and Rusev worked really hard. And Rusev's also a guy, during his period of healing injury, he's gotten in great shape. You know, he's lost some weight. You know, he looks in terrific shape as well. He's cut some weight. Looks to be, you know, maybe 15 pounds or so, maybe 20. He looks really fit. But it was you know, I mean, this is a match that should have been 12 minutes instead of 20. You know, it shouldn't have been 20. You know, 20, maybe even what, like 22 minutes even. Like it shouldn't have been.
It was like 21 minutes, I think, or something like that. I saw.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been 21 minutes at all. It's just, and no one cared. It was a dumb feud. It was a bad feud. Mr. America John Cena is one of my least favorite Cena incarnations. It's right up there with cheesy comedy John Cena.
Well, get ready because of him and Jinder, whenever they throw it down, that's going to happen. God, big time.
I know. And I don't care for it. It's just not that interesting to me. I prefer the more serious, like, competitive sport like promos from Cena, or the even the backstage political shoot stuff I find to be pretty good, like with the Miz feud or the Dean Ambrose feud. Like, but the Mr. America stuff, or the I'll crack cheesy jokes after I got, you know, squashed by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Stuff isn't and I love John Cena. I think he's one of the best wrestlers ever, but this is not his most compelling work in terms of feuds and character work and storyline. So it just wasn't a feud that interested me. And another thing I want to point out is, why the hell didn't just name this show Great American Bash? I mean, come on. I mean, you had the New Day come out and the Apollo Creed.
I know.
Just bring back Great American Bash and call it that.
Well, they had the battleground with all the flags on there. They introduced it last year as a new show. Although, to me, if you watch the network or seeing what they were playing on the live feed network, they were playing all the old Great American Bashes recently, this past week. So they were definitely doing that. But yeah, right, I get your point. I mean, it was, there are definitely a lot of foreign heels on this show. Let's look at this. Okay. Foreign heels. All right. We have Natalya, Canadian. Yeah. Tamina, Samoan. Kevin Owens, Canadian. Rusev, Bulgarian. Jinder from India.
Yep. There you go. It was a USA versus the world show.
Yeah, pretty much.
And in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's just was lazy booking, I thought. This whole feud was laziness. And what a way to bring Rusev back. You know,
I know.
Rusev, you know, cut them promos, wanting a title shot, was going to, you know, come to Shane McMahon, and then shows up to challenge John Cena. Okay.
First of all, why can't you have this flag match on SmackDown on July 4th and then do something else for this?
That's when they should have had it. And then Rusev didn't get pinned in this match. So, it is what it is, but it's like, what do you do with him now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you do?
What do you do with Cena now?
I don't know. It's, I guess, a gender program.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe, but.
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows? But anyway, I mean, again, both guys worked hard in this match.
Sure.
They didn't have a whole lot to work with. Now, next we go to a segment which I had some hope for. The Fashion X Files. It was kind of implied that we were going to find out who destroyed Tully the Horse from a previous segment of the Fashion Police. So, sure enough, the Ascension shows up. They claim responsibility for destroying everything. Like, after they said that they never had done it, and here they are just automatically doing it. And I was sitting here thinking, are you fucking kidding me? It's like, if they seriously do this, this is insanity. Luckily, they didn't do it that way. They revealed that, yes, they were infected at the Eddie Money concert that night, that they were not able to destroy, you know, the office. And then they showed Tully to the Ascension. They were just, like, sickened that somebody did something like that to the horse. It's amazing how the Ascension has become comedy characters now after all this. So then the lights go out, and there's the Fashion Police on the floor. Well, at least Tyler Breeze. Fandango is looking at him and yells out, "Breeze," and then he gets knocked out. Lights come back on, both are on the ground, there's a flashlight on the ground, and Fandango gets drug off as the crowd laughed audibly. So everybody pretty much is thinking this is going to be the return of Luke Harper and Eric Rowan as a tag team. I mean, it kind of has to be, doesn't it? Unless I mean, who would they have that would do this type of gimmick? I don't know.
I mean, it's not the Ascension. We clearly know that. It can't be. It's not going to be the New Day, and it's not going to be the Usos.
No, absolutely not.
It's not going to be the Hype Bros. They already covered that. I think it's got to be Harper and Rowan. It's got to be. Especially with the way that was shot and the way the creepy, you know, creepiness of it all at the end there. It's got to be them. And I mean, and the Colognes, you know, Primo's hurt, I think. It's Primo.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not going to be them. So it's got to be Harper and Rowan, which, I mean, it's a shame, especially for Harper, because they had him starting to get over the crowd, and then they decided to kill him.
I know. It was terrible. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the end to that whole situation, where they just wasted Luke Harper.
I actually hope Eric Rowan continues his really creepy, bizarre gimmick that he was portraying on Talking Smack, with the weird like mask and stuff he was carrying around and like being extra bizarre and creepy, because that was actually entertaining and interesting, and I hope he keeps that if it's them that have been attacking Breezango, which I'm assuming is the case. I guess we'll find out
on who knows. I mean,
we need to find out soon.
Who knows? Could this be an NXT team? Could this be a way to bring up Sanity? Which would be interesting if that was the case.
Oh my god, if it's Sanity, I might turn on SmackDown and never turn it back on again.
I mean, everybody knows it's Harper and Rowan. So makes me wonder if they're gonna try to pull a bait and switch. Which they have done in the past. Who knows?
They have.
Who knows? But anyway. All right, now let's get to the best act on SmackDown. The Power of Love, Mike and Maria Kanellis. God love these two. They are so awesome at playing their gimmicks. Oh, it's a breath of fresh air to see them two on SmackDown. Mike's gear has been amazing the past week. His jacket with her face on the back of it. Her jacket with her face on the back of it. Just the tights. It was pink on Tuesday, white with the lips and stuff on there. God, they're great. They're so great. And of course, the rest of Sami Zayn. And you would think, you know, in Philadelphia, Sami Zayn, Mike Bennett, you know, two guys who, you know, have a history of working in Philadelphia, the fans would be into it. No, they didn't care. Match went about 7 minutes or so. You know, Kanellis won on SmackDown. Rightfully so. I mean, he needed to win.
Right.
So, what do they do? 50-50 time. Here comes Zayn getting the win back. Oh, I hated that finish. You know, and I know Sami, you know, he needs to get wins too, but Jesus Christ.
Kanellis should have won that. You know, the match was fine. You know, the highlight was probably Maria's shorts.
Oh yeah, Carl Anderson was there. He would have been in love. Although the Maria's gear still not nearly as skimpy as it used to be yet.
No, not quite. I would be shocked if she pulled something like that out of big. Maybe like a big, one of the big four shows, but not on a B show.
Well, you know, one thing I got to bring up real quick, I just thought about, you know, they intro her as the First Lady of SmackDown. When is that going to become something?
Right.
You know, when is like she going to become involved with the females too, in the women's division?
I mean,
that's got to happen sooner or later.
That's true. Soon enough it will. I also think the other highlight of the match was the commentary team clearly being told in their headsets to call Mike Kanellis Maria's husband.
Oh yeah. Oh, and
they'd be like, Maria's husband coming.
And let's say this husband as well. The commentary tonight was dreadful. When did Byron Saxton become the insider? That's what I want to know.
Said the same thing.
The insider, Byron Saxton. And Tom Phillips, not knowing what move is what, he called the Midnight Hour wrong in the New Day match. Jesus Christ.
Tim Evans tweeted at me, though, after I asked why Byron was called the insider. He said he was better than Meltzer. So. That has to be a rib on Byron.
Oh, everything's a rib on Byron, pretty much is what they did. But yeah, I think we're both in agreement that Mike should have won this match. And I'm sure they'll wrestle on SmackDown again, and he'll probably get another win. So, but who knew? I mean, they got to do something from here. You know, if they're going to pivot to somewhere or somebody else or what. I mean, I'm guessing. I mean, this is their second match.
You know what? They could do a Ty Dillinger, Mike Kanellis feud with Mike going over.
Well, I said this, you know.
That'd be a good.
Oh, yeah. I said this on Twitter would be awesome is if they brought in Adam Cole to be like his best friend and Mike and Maria are trying to find him like his own Maria. That'd be a great way to use Adam Cole. But I don't want them to bury this gimmick because I love this gimmick so much. And I want them to do something positive here and keep it going. So I don't know. All right, next we have the main event. Punjabi prison match. First one in 10 years. Jinder Mahal against Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. When you saw this match, now you know why they haven't done this match in 10 years. It's very hard to if you're especially in the live arena, it's very hard to watch this match.
They were doing chants to entertain.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of chants going on. My favorite, Trust the Process, which is a Philadelphia chant based on the 76ers, old general manager, Sam Hinkie, who that was his motto, was Trust the Process when he was killing the team. And now they fired him, and now the team looks like it's on the upswing, and now they still chant Trust the Process. In an ironic way, in a good way. But they were chanting that, they were chanting Delete, they were chanting CM Punk. And you know what? In a lot of cases, I don't really care. I really don't care for the fans to chant stuff that kind of dissuades from the match. But when you can't really see what's going on, sometimes, you have to entertain yourself. And there were people like tweeting out that I paid $600 for my seats and I can't see a goddamn thing. That sucks for you. But, I mean, the prison is an awesome-looking structure. It really is. Because it's so different from anything else in wrestling. But it's just not something that could work like on a visual thing where you can see everything that's going on. They did the best they could as far as on the TV version of checking everything. But the rules are convoluted as well. All right, we have the thing where they have to lift up the doors for 60 seconds. And then if nobody gets out in that 6 seconds, then the door is padlocked. It can't be lifted again. So they do the deal where Jinder, of course, gets out on the last door with help of the Singh brothers, actually, who's up on the ring. They close the door on Orton in there. So then Jinder starts to climb the prison. And as he's getting up to the top, here's Orton then scaled the prison inside the ring and then jumps off onto the main prison. And he's already up higher now than Jinder was. Why didn't you do that to begin with? Why weren't you trying to begin with?
Randy almost slipped, dude.
Twice! Yeah, Batista did that same thing 10 years ago. Batista. And
Jesus.
So, yeah, remember, this match will have Batista and Kali in it. Think about that. But yeah. It was just tough, man, with all the stuff going on. And this is another match that went way too long. But I got to say this. If it weren't for the Singh brothers, I don't think this match is nearly as entertaining. They added an extra thing. And God, Samir Singh's bump. Did that tell you that exceeds Shane McMahon's bump off the Hell in the Cell, I thought. It's maybe not Foley's because of how it was, but that impact when he hit that table.
His tailbone probably hurt.
Jesus Christ.
Because they showed the slow motion, and his tailbone, he landed right on his tailbone.
God, those guys. Randy Orton has killed those dudes. I mean, he has just killed them. I want to see the Singh brothers in squash matches forever. They take bumps. Yes. They get their asses kicked. They're great in that role. I want to see them just get killed by people every television show. So props to them. Then, of course, you know, you got Singapore Kane shots. And, guys,
Randy got cut up.
Oh, listen, I mean, guys, I know wrestling is predetermined. It is. We all know that. And yet people say, oh, it's fake, you know, blah, blah. Tell that to Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal after those sitting Singapore Kane shots where they're welted up, or any of these guys, because they get welted up and start bleeding.
Yeah.
And then Randy's arm started bleeding from something else, too. I don't know what.
Yep.
So he's bleeding from the back of the arm. He's trying to sell his arm. Then here comes fucking Great Khali. And that's been reported. It's been reported by the news sites.
He got a pop.
Yeah, well, he ain't been around. Yeah, it had been reported on the news sites that he was there, and naturally he comes out, goozles Orton, Jinder climbs out right beside him to win, which was fairly obvious that Jinder was going to win. Jinder's got 3 straight wins over Randy Orton on pay per view. How many guys could say that as well? But
yeah,
I don't know. I just don't know what to think about this match. I mean, it was entertaining, definitely at the end. It was just too long. But it was entertaining. I can't say it was a good match or a bad match. It was just a spectacle. I mean, what do you think?
Right. Yeah. Pretty much. It was a better version of the disastrous Ambrose Jericho Asylum match last year.
I will agree with that for sure. Definitely.
It was not an awful match, although I think a lot of people will call it one. I really don't think it was. I think they're
it's too damn long.
If they do, it was just too long.
27 minutes.
I think there were, you know, several entertaining moments with the Singh brothers getting beat up, which was, you know, certainly the highlight. Khali was coming back was fun, albeit amusing and you know, kind of like, oh my god, it's Great Khali. Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yes.
But in sort of a perverse, entertaining way. It was fine. You know, I mean, if I were to give it a star rating, I might give it like 2.5 stars or something. Like, it was kind of right there in the middle. It was 28 minutes. Come on, like, Jesus. And the four doors gimmick in the first part of the structure is just ridiculous. Like, I couldn't help but just laugh. Like, each time the door would, you know, close. My brother Dustin made a good point as the match started. He said, you know, couldn't someone just crawl through the squares in the Punjabi prison? Sure enough. Fair enough. One of the Singh brothers does it before he bumps to the table. Dustin goes, did you not just see that? He said he just literally climbed through the square.
It's amazing he fit through the hole.
I mean, he's got a point. He said all you have to do is just kick open the extra bamboo or whatever the hell in the middle and just crawl through it. You don't need the door.
As we're talking right now, I just happened to look on Twitter. And Sean Waltman tweeted out during the match that he said he wished the Punjabi prison made more noise when someone hit it. Randy Orton tweeted out after the show, one word, agreed, in response. That is very true. The prison makes, there's no sound at all.
And Randy's probably bruised up and hurting.
Yeah, the steel bamboo. How do you steal? I mean, steel reinforced bamboo. And another thing too. Another Randy Orton moment. This is going on. Now, all right, we're recording this at 12:24 a.m. right now. At 12:01 a.m., Randy Orton tweets a response to Christian. Now, Christian's not even talking about the match. But Randy Orton now, fucked up in this match. Christian finds his wrestling boots and goes, I wonder if these still fit. Randy Orton tweets back, for fuck's sake, I hope so. One more match? Yeah, I'm sure he wish he was working against Christian after the night. If you've never seen those Christian-Randy Orton matches, go watch those matches.
Oh, those are incredible. That's a classic series. Probably Randy's best series in ring.
I mean, Jinder has done a great job as champion as a character. His matches are what they are. I mean, he's not the best wrestler in the world, but he's, you know, he does enough to get over. He's got a great character. The thing is that I gotta believe they're gonna keep him champion until they go to the homeland. But I don't know when that is. So it is September,
I believe. I believe that's what I saw someone tweet out a few months ago. I think they said tour was in September.
I gotta think he's gonna be champion until then. So no matter who he wrestles at SummerSlam,
right,
he's gonna go over. So I mean, even if it's Cena, I gotta think he goes over somehow, some way, so he could be the champion when they go there. And I tell you what, the monster business there, especially if Khali's involved, which it looks like he probably will be.
Oh yeah, I think this is building for Jinder and Khali to go back to India with Jinder as champion. I think you're right, and it looks like if that's the case, Jinder might be champ till they might not till Survivor Series. You know, give somebody a big win at Survivor Series over him.
Yeah, I mean it's very feasible for that to happen. But man, if this leaves Khali and Orton, oh my goodness gracious! I don't know about that one. I don't know, and that may happen on SmackDown. Who knows? But
to be fair to Randy, he's busted his ass in the Jinder feud.
He has, but Randy, what a year!
He's really worked hard to put Jinder over. But Randy's weird, you know. Randy's one of those guys who, when he's motivated, he's pretty good. But when he's unmotivated, boy, is he boring.
Well, what a year Randy Orton has had this year as far as feuds. Bray Wyatt, Jinder. Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was quite the show.
Yeah.
So now we'll talk about our thoughts here. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where do you stand?
Thumbs down. I've thought back and I've thought about some shows. Night of Champions 2016 wasn't a good show. It was the Clash of Champions. That was not a good show. I think this was worse. I tweeted it out, and I still think I stand by it. I think this might... I didn't see Elimination Chamber 2015 or Battleground 2015. And I've never seen the entirety of those shows. People panned those when I was tweeting out. But this has got to be the worst WWE big card since Over the Limit or No Way Out 2012, which had the Cena Laurinaitis feud and the, this was not a good show at all. The opener is excellent, as in the opener of the pay per view, Usos versus New Day for the tag belts. That's worth watching for sure. Everybody check that out. Look up a GIF of the Singh brother taking a bump to the announce table. Or just maybe watch the last 10 minutes of the main event. Otherwise, skip it. I mean, this just sucked. Thumbs down.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's the worst period this has been since. I mean, it was definitely thumbs down. Hey, God, if it wasn't for that first, I mean, the opening match, good Lord. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, some of the worst previews I remember in recent times have been because of the booking has been so shitty. And it's not always because of the action, it's the booking.
Right. WrestleMania 32 was pretty bad before.
Yeah.
And Dallas Mania was. I still have a hard time even putting that this over that. And somebody mentioned Battleground 2013. I said absolutely not, because that road.
Oh, around 2014. I remember that one being a shit fest. Let me go through that one here. All right. Yeah. So let's look. All right, Battleground 2014. We had Adam Rose over Fandango, Cameron over Naomi, the Usos 2 out of 3 falls over the Wyatts, AJ over Paige, Rusev over Jack Swagger by countout, Seth over Dean Ambrose by forfeit. Yeah, it was that show.
That was
Jericho over Bray Wyatt. That match sucked. Battle Royal for the vacant Intercontinental title won by The Miz. And then Fatal 4-Way for the WWE title, Cena over Kane, Orton, and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's pretty low on the totem pole there. Interestingly enough, the Usos had a tremendous match on that show, and of course,
yeah, I would say a lot of the pay per views from the Authority angle.
Right. There were a few of those that were not too shabby memory. But that scene at Johnny Ace Street sucked. And that Over the Limit 2012 has that classic Punk Bryan match, which is like an awesome match. So it's hard. But No Way Out 2012 was not a good show at all for memory. That had Sheamus and Ziggler, which was good on the undercard for the World Heavyweight title, but that had like the Punk Bryan Kane triple threat, which was like in the middle of the AJ Lee storyline, which I like, but like the match wasn't any good. So it was a bad show too. But this is the gist here is that this is not a show worth watching in full. Most likely, unless you want to dare yourself, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, ooh. Oh, here's another winner. TLC 2014. New Day over Golden Stardust. Dolph and Harper in a ladder match. Usos over Miz and Miz Dow. Big Show in the Stairs match with Eric Rowan. Cena and Rollins in the Tables match. Nikki over AJ. Ryback chairs. Rusev over Swagger in less than 5 minutes. And then the Bray Wyatt Dean Ambrose match that went almost 30 minutes,
with the exploding TV finish.
So there you go. I'll say that one. So it's the worst show since that one. But anyway, that's it for us this evening. We will be back for SummerSlam in a month, so we got a little time. Let's see what happens. Long time in the world of WWE, so who knows what we're gonna get. Now, we have a... It's interesting. Like I said, SmackDown, we're trying to figure out where they go with storylines. Raw, we got Raw tomorrow night, or tonight, whenever you listen to this. That's got 3 matches announced. Every storyline is pretty much... You know what's going on. you know who's feuding with who. There's not a whole lot of bullshit going on. Amazing. Simply amazing how the tables have turned.
Yes.
I'm telling you. And I cannot wait for Braun, Brock, Roman, and Samoa Joe to hook it up at SummerSlam. Oh.
Oh my God. If they do that 4-way, which it looks like they're going to do, that is going to be fucking incredible.
That better be the last match, because ain't nothing going to follow that shit.
Nope.
So we'll see what happens from here on out. So, Devin, thanks as always for being on the show. This is Chris saying so long for the Peach State of Georgia.